The weekly conversations with Maitreya is open to everyone. You can raise your hand and ask your questions. Please keep your questions on topic, Mission of Maitreya, Eternal Divine Path. We ask everyone to go to our website and learn the teachings first, so your questions will be on topic. Those who have not gone to our website and do not know our teachings will not have mic privileges. Be articulate and keep your questions in the spirit of learning and inquiry. Be a seeker and empty the cup of your previous knowing for the new wine of God. Keep your questions in the highest level. Ask about the teachings and be mindful that you are holding the energy at its highest. Questions will be taken in text also, but only one at a time. Treat the room as being in our cyber church and hearing a lecture. Please listen to the complete answer to your last question before typing another question. If you would like to listen to his, Maitreya's, previous lectures, satsang, we already have them running 24 hours a day in the room, Discourses by Maitreya, God's Words Continuously, Religious Groups section. Shalom and welcome to everyone.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Mission of Maitreya's conversation room. Let's start in the name of the one God, the formless, invisible, nameless and eternal, which unifies and sends all the revelation to man and have continued bringing the truth to humanity for the last 12,000 years. And now we are at the end time and we can see the diverse calamities is happening on earth, and we have earthquake, we have had tsunami, we have had tornadoes, mudslide, you name it, we got it. And still, of course, even our leaders are in denial and say, no, this is just the way things are. And when everybody else is seeing it clearly, it is different. Something is happening. The war, the destruction, the signs that has been prophesied in all religions of the world will come to humanity are here. And of course, then the most important news is the news about a famous person carrying a swastika in their arm, when swastika is a very spiritual part of God's revelation. And instead of understanding what it is and where it's come from and how it affects humanity and how even cross has come from it, you know, they have propaganded to something evil, which is not. So we can see kind of a brainwashing or destructive understanding have come to humanity, that you place God and all the signs is sending, instead of we concentrating and seeing them, we concentrating and seeing evil and things which are from a spirit. That shows how far humanity has gone away from the truth and the political system and understanding of what is evil and what is good is being twisted for humanity in a greater degree. Now it's a time of education and understanding of humans, then they recognize and realize that God does everything on earth, and therefore we understand his will and why things has happened or happening for humanity, and therefore see his will and his ways and eventually recognize and come to grip of the will of God and see that if we do not understand this thing, the history will repeat itself. We will have the same kind of the problem that we have had before all through history. Therefore, our understanding is skewed, our understanding is flawed, and education and understanding of The truth behind the events on earth has to be recognized, but of course we know where we are. We are in the intellectual period of human history, and intellect is more important than the word of God, so we want to explain everything about understanding and intellectual realization when God's spirit is working behind the scene and is taking us toward the end time and coming of the kingdom. So all the signs are clearly are there for us to see, and if we have in the smallest eyes, we can see clearly that this is the time. This room is for everybody to go to our website and study our teachings and come here and discuss this revelation. And it is a challenge to those that are other religions to go and study our teachings and then come here and let us have a discussion with all of you and see which religion really is from God, or all of them are from God. If all of them are from God, how can all of them saying things that might be different from one to the other? But and also how each religion of the world fall in one part or aspect of this teaching and revelation, and how we, you know, this understanding, we can all become one. So go to our website, and if you have been in our website, there's amazing amount of information and revelation in that website. And if you find something that it doesn't make sense to you, or you want to discuss it with us, come here and let's bring the truth together and discuss and realize what is the truth of the revelations of God. In general, God has prophesied of coming of all the prophets before this revelation, and he also promised that there will be the last revelation of God. And when this last revelation comes, the unity and the whole plan of God will be revealed to humanity. And as you read our teachings, whenever God said he is going to do something, he will do them. And he promised many things and he fulfilled them. And now, of course, he fulfilled the sending of the revelation that makes sense. Indeed, if you don't know this revelation, if you don't know this truth, you cannot explain and know your religion. As simple as that. Therefore, this revelation have come now to unify all humanity, or at least those who are prepared themselves to go to the kingdom of God and create an environment that for the last 1,000 years, the destructive tendencies of human will be meditated on, be recognized, realized, overcome, and eventually create an environment that human progress toward becoming, to our consciousness, or overcoming and becoming Son of God, will facilitate it and accelerate it in a greater degree. That coming of the kingdom and acceleration of the progress of children of God are here, and you are the ones that have been attracted to this mission, this revelation, and therefore now it is you who have to take this revelation and take it to other people. And also, of course, I will continue doing this, and will be here to explain to you and others in the future, as far as I am in the body, to be able to make everybody see indeed humanity have misinterpreted, misunderstood. They have been propagated to not seeing the truth of the signs and the revelation of God, and each of them have a part of the truth, and they cannot see their way straight, because when you have a part, you don't know what the whole looks like. And the whole, of course, looks like the revelation of this mission to humanity, And when you see the whole truth and you exercise it and you overcome the ego, the separation from God, there will be no devil or evil or misunderstanding left for you. You will be free, you will be completely one with God, and you seek the truth instead of being afraid of this world and what it offers or doesn't. Or you will seek the truth no matter what, and you teach other people to seek the truth, and no matter what, the chips fall. And that is the human, kind of the human we want to create. The humanity that seeks the truth in every situation, in every revelation, in every society we are living in, and we will be able to manifest these qualities in them. Revely, have you been in our website? The rule in this room is to, Unity Minister study basically the same thing. I seek to find the similarities, but that is not what we seek, Reveille. We do not seek similarity. Actually, we point out the differences between religions and why they are each are apart by having a specific revelation. Which is now put together, you will see the whole truth. Well, I let you have the mic, but be on topic and let's discuss the things you like to do. Go ahead.
Well, I have some understanding. One of the people that go to my church studies Maitreya. And from what I understand, it is, you know, the uniting of the sonship, or uniting of all of the people in the world in a, you know, in seeing that we're all the same, and seeing that we're all brothers and sisters, and seeing that there's one God, one presence, one power, one infinite wisdom in the universe. And it's expressing itself through the prophets, and all the prophets basically had the same message. It's just been misinterpreted by several different religions. So am I wrong on that? Please tell me. Thank you.
This teaching is different than what you have been taught. Actually, that is very similar to Baha'i teaching, that they teach basically all religions are the same and similar. That's why I was asking, and I want everybody to go to our website first and study our teaching. This is a revelation that is absolutely different than anything has been on earth to this point. It opens the seven seals. It opens the book sealed with the seven seal. It reveals the revelation and what it meant and what God was doing for the last 12,000 years and how he sealed the end time revelation from even great prophets like Daniel and other prophets and told them that don't write anything about the end time. And now we are in at the end time, and this revelation is different than anything you have ever seen. I suggest that you go to our website, study about it, and empty your cup so this revelation can fill you up and you can see this is absolutely different. And when you see the this revelation, you see each major revelation to humanity have a very specific message, although the other revelation have the same message, but emphasis is in that specific message. And then you put all of them together, then a path will emerge, which we call an eternal divine path. And if you understand this eternal divine path and follow it, the promise is you will reach Godhood or Godhead, or you become a son of God, as God promised in the revelation that whoever overcometh will become my son. And this is the path to overcome. So if you have follow-up on that, that's fine. You can raise your hand again. But in general, we really recommend you to really study and teaching, and talk to your friend, the friend that you have who follows that. I'm supposing that he follows our teachings. Of course, there are many Maitreyas out there that claim to be the Messiah and the Maitreya and all that. And I'm wondering if maybe your friend following other Maitreyas, but if he follows this mission, then you can ask him about this mission more and maybe understand in a greater degree what we teach. In general, there is 5 steps in the eternal divine path. The first step, awakening of spiritual forces, which is teaching of Hinduism, Buddhism, Kabbalah, Christian saints, Sufis, and any other religions like Africans and American Indians, and any religion or teaching that says, know thyself to know God, or be still and know that I am God, or Atman, or Self, and God are one, and therefore by realizing yourself, you realize God. So that includes many mystical paths. The next step of the mystical path says just meditate and you will reach God and nirvana or pure consciousness. But the next step, as it is revealed in the Old Testament, is the creation of the communities of light. So the Old Testament is teaching humanity that we have to direct our realization, our goodness, our godness, and whatever we realize through our awakening of our spiritual forces toward the creation of communities of light. And that is the whole Old Testament is based. God is trying to find a community, a people who will accept him as king and his laws as the law of the community, and will follow him and eventually bring him to an all level of their lives. Of course, in order to create such a community, it's impossible without sacrifice of each member to participate or give to the community in a greater degree than they take. And that sacrifice or not being self-centered is the message of the New Testament. Christ came and showed that in order to create communities of light, to order, as he said, love your neighbor as yourself, and he sacrificed for his ideal. And therefore, that is the message of the third seal or the Christianity. Still, with sacrificing and trying to create communities of light and meditating, you might not succeed. So you become depressed, you become unhappy, you say, why am I doing this and it's not happening? Or it might start happening and see everybody come, everybody joins, the communists of light are popping all over the world and everybody helping and inspired and creating community of light all over the place. And then you say, look at me, I'm doing such a great job. And you create an ego. Of course, as we teach, ego is like an umbrella which cuts the grace of God from you. And therefore, the next step is surrender the result to God. And that means you do your best. If the result was good, great, it was God. You know, it's God's. If it's not good, then still, you know, you just improve yourself and you go on and you're not attached to the result. And greater than, of course, surrendering is submission. It means you do let God come through. And of course, because God does perfect job, you become an instrument for him to do a perfect job to create the comings of light, sacrificing, meditating, and all that. This surrendering to the will of God or submission, of course, is the message of Islam. And Islam, of course, means surrendering and submission. And with this understanding, we can completely, you know, overcome any depression or becoming egoistical. And since our brother left, I guess it was too much of an explanation. It was more than instant, a couple of seconds of some explanation, which many of us are not willing to stay more than that, but that is okay. I'm going to continue and finish this explanation, and then, of course, still room is open for discussion and anything you guys want to say. Of course, the next step, as all might know, is the universalism, and the universalism comes from the Baha'i teaching, or Bab, And that, of course, bring the expansion of the mind and shattering all the narrowness of the mind. And with this, of course, we will overcome any prejudicity, separation, and all the vice of being attached to one religion, one nation, one gender, one race, and all the problem that we can see is all over the earth at this time. With this five step, of course, you become a paravipra. You become elect. You become a son, not son, but you become a person that God is talking about in our religion. My people, the chosen one, the elect, the people who have overcome all the vices and separation and destructive tendencies, and they have reached the point now they can come together in the communities of light and manifest these qualities in these communities and eventually create communities of light and bring the kingdom of God on earth. Therefore, we need a system, we need an element, we need a progress on human soul and beings. We need a new world, a new heaven, and a new earth. The new heaven is this revelation, the new earth is coming of the kingdom. And therefore, we all have been called for this revelation and understanding and expansion of the mind, and all the religions and people in every place on earth have to recognize that this revelation and coming of this unification has been prophesied by God, is a part of their teachings, is a part of their religion, and they have to come together and read and understand and share and eventually create communities of light together. So, with these sadvipras, or with these paravipras, as we call them, the coming of the kingdom will be established, and they will create the communities of light. They will come, they become the facilitating body. The facilitating body will reach out in a greater degree, so we can create a well-oiled, godly organization based on our teachings, and eventually the people who will in it with no ego, absolute channels or ways to God come, for God to come through, and therefore we can bring the Spirit of God back to earth. It is not here. It is absolutely have been bulldozered over with propaganda, with misunderstanding, with the different realization, with the intellectual explanation, with the things that are ungodly. The Spirit of God is not on earth. The Spirit of God will come to earth when we have 144,000 paravipras. We have our organization based on God. We test and examine our own selves all the time, and we simplify our life as much as possible, so we do not have to be dependent in the external world, and the less we are dependent on the external world, the more we can become godly. We don't have to play the game or to pretend to follow and be politically correct, but we are from God, and therefore we listen to God instead of listening to anybody else, no matter where they are or who they are. So therefore the goal is become more and more godly, come together in a greater degree. You are brothers and sisters in God, and you come together as brothers and sisters, and your unity is based on the Spirit of God and manifestation of His revelation. And as you become similar, there is no separation between any of you. You will become a nation in God's revelation, and therefore, after a while, there is an exchange of the cultural understanding or godly cultural realization, and you become united and one, and you can teach other people to overcome their misunderstanding, their lack of realization that God said there's going to be seven revelations. How can any of of them say that they have the last prophet or the only way or they are the chosen or this and that. They can't. It is impossible for any of them to be the whole truth, because the whole truth will come in the end time and at the time of the seventh revelation. Therefore, again, we have to go beyond human part of who we are, but shatter all the narrowness of the mind, go beyond these earthly bounds and bondages, and free ourselves to become the citizen of the universe, the citizen of the whole earth, and become brothers, sisters in God, not citizen of any nation or any narrow view of seeing who we are. We are humans. That's who we are. We are not from this part or that part. We are not separated with nationality, culture, language, gender. We are the essence of God. And that essence of God has to be recognized and realized in all of us. And therefore, we can become united and unified by looking at each other and seeing that essence, not seeing separation or differences. Therefore, it is a new approach. It's a new earth. It's a new understanding. It's coming together as a nation of God. You are indeed the children of Israel. They are the children of light. That is what God meant by the children of Israel. Children of Israel, or the children of God, is a quality, is the understanding of the eternal divine path and coming together as that nation. Therefore, we are calling to create this nation, this new nation of God on earth, which will be the people of chosen and will manifest the eternal divine path and the quality of God. And they are absolutely the best Christian, they are the best Muslim, they are the best Jew, and they are the best Hindu, they are the best Buddhist, they are the best Baha'is, and they are all of them. If Muslims says, but you're going to come and teach Islam, that is the truth. We indeed understand the message of Islam in a greater degree, which is the surrendering and submission. But what does that mean, being surrendered and submissive to God? Does it mean that we don't do anything and we say, inshallah, and God's will, and we absolutely become escapists? Or surrendering means no, we are very active people who will take the life with its horn and do our best, but surrender the result to God. And even greater than more Muslims that say, well, inshallah, or I follow the will of God, we said God come through and the Spirit of God will be one with us. And of course, they will tell you, no, you cannot become God. God is God over up there, and you are separated from him. And then you can tell, how come your very Sufis jumped of joy and say, "An Allah, I am God." And therefore we can see indeed they are not correct. And we are best Christian because we love our neighbors as ourselves, and we love those who are with us in this revelation as our brothers and sisters, and we are willing to give up ourselves and sacrifice for the kingdom and bring the peace and unity and the kingdom which humanity longs for last 12,000 years. And therefore we are indeed not aggressors, we are the love of Christ. We understand the love of God, the compassion of God, but we recognize that love can be also corrective love, which is the compassionate, which is greater than love that does not correct mistakes in the society. We are best Jew. We are following the eternal divine path. We are the elect. We are the children of God. Therefore, we are the best of in every religion. If they say Maitreya is supposed to come, or the expected one is supposed to come and preach our teachings, you're right. we are preaching your teaching, but we are preaching more than your teaching. We are preaching other religions, and the revelation is the revelation of one God who has promised this will come at the end time. And if you do not see our teaching as from God, you have a very narrow understanding of God and His words. Therefore, we encourage you, and we recommend that you go and study this revelation in our website. It is free. It is all there. It's given to you with no reservation, and you can go there and understand those teachings, you know, and realize indeed God said there is going to be a seventh major revelation, and this is the last one. And if you don't understand this, you cannot understand your teachings. We have some questions. Brahma Murti is asking, what is meant by the ring of Solomon, and what does it symbolize? This was mentioned by some Muslims I was talking to. They say that the expected one should have the staff of Moses, Quran of Muhammad, ring of Solomon, and the sword of Ali. Well, indeed, these are all symbolic as the what the anointed one will manifest. The ring, of course, is a symbol of kingships. So is the staff. And the sword, of course, comes from his mouth, and his mouth will say the truth. The truth is the sword which cut to the falsity, and all these things are symbolic that most Muslims take them as literal, and so therefore they are waiting for somebody that have a ring, and it reminds me of a story of a man who was in a village and is teaching the people, and another educated person came and said, well, he's not really teaching you well, he's not teaching what it's supposed to. It's the false teacher said, well, let's have a contest, and said, okay, sure, let's have a contest. And the educated person wrote a snake, and the person who was the false teacher draw in a snake. And then he asked people, which one is a snake? And of course the people were uneducated, and they said, well, the one is look like a snake, therefore he is more educated than the one that wrote a snake. We have to understand what is the meaning behind this symbolic metaphors, and also Muslim, they have to recognize that we go with Quran, and whatever is in Quran, of course, they have to recognize, and Quran clearly says that Muhammad did not reveal everything. There was many versions of Quran when they eventually choose one of the versions as the official version for Muslim, and therefore all the sign says he could not be the last prophet. He was in the line of tribe of Judah. He wasn't, you know, fulfilling all the prophecies that are in other religions, and therefore they have to educate themselves and realize indeed God has sent this revelation according to the word of God, not according to the understanding of Muslim, not according to understanding of Christian, not according to understanding of Jews, but understanding of God. And that is the words the whole humanity should come and follow and realize that God indeed prophesied and foretold there is going to be seven revelation. And when that revelation opens, it is going to be a book which is sealed with the seven seals, and nobody can open it but the Lion of Tribe of Judah, and on and on. You know a lot of things in our mission that is pointing out indeed this is it. And therefore Muslims also have to recognize and realize, just like every other religion, that their religion is not perfect. None of them is perfect until the seventh revelation comes. And therefore, if they continue with resisting the last revelation of God, you know, they will end up in a greater darkness and ignorance, and eventually, of course, there is going to be a greater destruction coming to all those who resist God and His revelation. It is not God's doing, it is their doing. It is just like we are trying to build a new house over an old one, and an old one has to be teared down and destroyed before we can build a new house. And new house or the bricks keep saying, no, we're not going to move, you know, you're not supposed to destroy us, you know, we don't want a new house, or we're not going to let the new house come. Is there constructive workers that are going to just sit there and do nothing and wait for these old ideas stay there? It cannot. And therefore, we can see even the tribulation and many things is happening on earth is accelerated, and therefore this is a new call. It's a new heaven, it's a new earth, and it is a new call to whole humanity. And we have clearly shown in every religion that they don't have it. They're not perfect. They should listen to God, not to hadith, not to ideas of human made, but the ideas of God. But they are correct. Indeed, the one who comes will come with all these qualities. He is the anointed one. The anointed means he is chosen to bring this message to humanity. A messenger, if God decides this is the time to do this, okay, and end time is approaching, and God makes the decision or knows that it is coming, God is a spirit. God is something that a lot of people cannot connect to and see the whole revelation, and therefore He chooses a prophet or a messenger for humanity. And he cleans that person, puts them to a very hard time of realizing, you know, what God wants the message to be with humanity. And that person is anointed by God, cleansed, purified, and put through a very hard time sometimes to make him prepared for it. And then, of course, he's guided to get the message, what it is, and brings it to humanity in the clearest and most perfect way. And of course, this revelation is, of course, the most clear, most perfect revelation for the whole humanity. And the anointed one has all those qualities. He indeed has the ring of Solomon. Because if you remember in the Old Testament, whenever they wanted to choose a king, king was anointed with the oil. And that oil was put on his head, and that anointment, or that oil, was a symbol of receiving the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. And therefore, they knew that the leaders of the society has to be connected to God. Because, as the Bible says, if the head is sick, the body will be also sick. So if the leader is not connected to God, if the leader is not connected to a spirit, that society will fall apart. And which leaders on earth are connected to God at this time? Therefore, we can see none of them are really anointed. Some of them, of course, they claim they're connected to God, but they're connected to God according to a narrow understanding of one religion, and they want to make everybody converted to that religion, which we know it is only one-seventh of the truth. Therefore, anointed man is the one that is anointed with the Holy Ghost. Therefore, he has the he is representative of God as the king on earth. Therefore, he has the ring of God in with him. Of course, it's not a regular ring, it is all symbolic, okay? And the expected one should have the staff of Moses, okay? Always kings have a staff. It's a, it is a scepter. It's something that the kings symbolically as a authority given to them by God, and therefore he surely has. And like a sword. A sword is the truth that will come out of his mouth and destroy the all that. You can see all this thing is the symbolic as what exactly is with the Messiah, with the Anointed One. Buddha is still a child. Okay, what is the Buddha's name? Siddhartha? Is that what you're looking? Siddhartha? What was his earthly name? And is that what you're asking? If there was truly Buddhas to come, he would know there is no God. Okay. Well, that's another dogmas that now a Buddhist presented to us, that Buddha taught there is no God. And of course, that is not correct. There are branches in Buddhism that they believe there is God. And Buddha, of course, was sick of many gods in Hinduism. And that is why he said, don't worry about all these gods and concentrate on knowing thyself and progressing and following the eight pathfold and realizing who you are and reach nirvana. And therefore, he wasn't opposed to God. He was just sick of him. And therefore, he said, don't worry about gods. And we do kind of the same thing. We say God is formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal. Therefore, you cannot call him Allah. You cannot call him Jehovah. You cannot call him Yahweh. You cannot call him Jesus. You cannot call him anything because he doesn't have any name. And only thing is left for you is to recognize and realize he is the God that is a spirit. And of course, Buddha never taught there is no God. He just said, don't worry about it. And there are people in Buddhism that they accept that there is a God. And also the writing of Buddha or the teaching of Buddha was put down 500 years after him. And we know what happened in 500 years to someone's teachings. Indeed, the only revealer who came, who revealed the revelation of God or teachings, put them together, perfected them, and put them in internet and told them, humanity, here is the whole truth, and is this mission and this revelation. Nobody have ever done that before. It is the only revelation that the revealers didn't say, I just revealed to you a part of the truth. He said, I revealed to you the whole truth, and therefore it's perfect now. And therefore, we can see this perfection have come. And Buddha, of course, never taught there is no God. But you have the name of the Buddha that is to come. Are you that Buddha? Well, it is just like Christian come here and say, well, you are called Messiah. Are you Jesus? Are you Christ? And the prophet, people in Muslim come and say, well, you people say you are Mehdi. Are you the one that they are expecting, or Christ, or Jesus, or Isa is supposed to come? Are you the one? Now you're asking the same question, and the answer is the same. You have to prove it to yourself. It doesn't matter if I say I am, you will not believe it. If I say I am not, I am lying. And therefore, in either way, you are the person who have to go to the website, see the prophecies about Buddhism and the coming of the Buddha, see the revelations, see the teachings, see the whole package, and come to the conclusion, am I correct or not? If I'm correct, then more power to you, and you recognize and realize that indeed the fifth Buddha has come, and his revelation on earth, and how all the Buddhas long to be in this time for these teachings. If you did not and could not prove it to yourself, then we leave you to nirvana. We leave you to whatever you believe in, and therefore we go ahead with our teachings, and hopefully and pray for you, one day you recognize and you realize that indeed the fifth Buddha has come, and it is finished, it's done, and therefore you, if you of course recognize, you are blessed to come and recognize and be with us and help to spread and bring the peace and unity to humanity. So it is up to you. It is up to each individual and person to go, to search, to understand, and eventually either prove it either way. Either way, it doesn't really matter. I'm not here to convert you. I'm not here to make you believe in it. I'm here just to give you this message and revelation and the prophecies and the genealogy and everything that happened to this mission, to this part. And actually, there is a part in the website, it explains how I became Maitreya and eventually accepted this mission to bring to humanity and put this call out. And this call, of course, is out, and is a call to the whole man on earth and humanity. Actually, it's a call to the whole universe to come together, to recognize and realize eternal divine path and follow it. Of course, if you want to put God out and follow eternal divine path, still it's going to work. It's not going to work as well, and it's not going to give you as much peace of mind. But if you follow eternal divine path, that will help you no matter what your beliefs are. That's why we don't have any dogma. There is no dogma in this teaching, and you can look it in any way you want as far as you follow the eternal divine path. Mara Kaman is asking, Maitreya, can you speak to us on the word Om? Is it not the name of God? The Om is the very original sound at the time of the Big Bang, or separation of the consciousness from the original essence, and therefore that Om sound is everything in the creation, and this is the original sound has been created in manifested world. Of course, we know that before this manifestation, there was no sound. There was no sight, there was no touch, there was no mind. There was nothing manifested which now we can experience, okay, experiment. Therefore, if anything which is manifested we take as a part of God, we are not going to the ultimate. The ultimate state of God is formless, invisible, nameless, eternal, without any sound, any touch, anything that we can experience. That is why Buddha called it Nirvana. And some people say Nirvana means nothingness. And really, it's not nothingness. It is in a state of absorption, or being one with the essence, which is a state of pure bliss. It's just like a sleep. When you go to sleep, you almost die. Death actually is a permanent sleep. And most of the people, when they are asleep, you know, they don't want to wake up. Sometimes you wake up in the morning or sometime, and really you are this kind of disappointed that you came out of sleep. You want to sleep more. Why? Because sleep and that state is the more natural or most natural state of being than being in this manifested world. This manifested world is a temporary state of being, and being in the essence is the permanent. Therefore, the essence doesn't have a name in such a way you can alter it or say it. If you say it is Om, if you say it's Allah, if you say it is Buddha, or if it says it's Jehovah, Jesus, Isa, whatever, the moment you say it, it's not. Because God is formless, invisible, and never. But there is a vibration in the universe that everything has been created by that vibration. That is the sacred name of God, which also cannot be uttered and pronounced. And that sacred name, if you recognize it and realize it and meditate on it and eventually become one with it and realize the stillness between breathing and breathing out, will take you to the state of oneness with the essence, which then you recognize, yes, indeed, there is eternity, there is infinity, there is those states that mind cannot fathom. You know, mind cannot understand what infinity is, what eternity is. You know, mind wants to explain where God came from, you know, or what that essence came from. How can there be something that's been here forever? You know, who created that? You know, but in that state of stillness and oneness with the essence, everything is clear. You have no question because you are one. Therefore, no name which can be uttered in the external world is the ultimate name of God. I hope that answers your question. Buddha, little child, did you not teach Nirvana? Did you create it own? Well, that is again your way to prove it to yourself that indeed God have created all those things. And if you understand our teaching, then you understand in a greater degree how the Om came, what is Nirvana, who is Buddha, who is all the other prophets, you know, and therefore it will help you greatly to accelerate your understanding from all the religions of the world and therefore break the mold of just one religion or one understanding. You're welcome, Mara, come on. And therefore, this is the revelation that if you don't understand this revelation or these teachings, you're going to have a hard time to understand any religion on earth that we have, because all of them are only 1/7 of the whole truth. And therefore, that's why we recommend everybody and encourage, and actually, it is the obligation actually of each person to at least know what these teachings all are about and how it came about and revealed to humanity, and therefore help them to expand themselves and recognize this. Yes, indeed, not only Buddha came, also Krishna came, also, you know, Muhammad came, also Christ came, also all the prophets of the Old Testament came. How come we have two kind of a separated revelation and teachings on earth as Hinduism and Buddhism, and also a separate Judo-Christian, Islamic, Baha'i? It is all explained and unified and given to humanity why all of these have come to man, and now how we can see there is an essence and a spirit behind it. It has come from the universal mind. It has come from the part that each religion calls different thing, and of course Buddha didn't call it God because he was just sick of so many gods, and he came to reform Hinduism. How can he come and says, yeah, I'm going to bring you another god? They already had hundreds and thousands of gods, and said, hey, here's another one. So Hindus say, okay, that's another god, fine, we add them to our collection, that's another god. And he said, no, there is no God. There is no God. Don't worry about it. It's just, don't worry about gods. You know, concentrate on knowing yourself. And therefore, later on, some Buddhists concluded, he said, there is no God, which is not correct. And there are branches in Buddhism that they do believe in God still. And also, his teaching was put down 500 years after he left his body, and therefore, there has been probably some human idea crept into it. Therefore, Buddha never said there is no God. And if Buddhists understand that and understand our teaching, they will expand their understanding in a greater degree. This is the revelation of expansion. It's a revelation of recognizing that all of these revelations have come from the same source, from the same essence. From whatever you want to call it, you want to call it Jehovah, fine, you want to call it Buddha, you want to call it, you know, Christ, but the truth is it doesn't have any name. It's nameless, it doesn't have any form, it's formless, it is eternal, and all these things separate man from man. The moment you say it has a shape, the moment you say it has a name, the moment you say it has something in this manifested world, you are separating man from man, and other persons come and say, no, it has different shape, it's a different name, you're separated. That's why Buddha opposed all the Hindu gods. He just threw them out and said, don't worry about them and meditate. The rest of the teaching of the Buddhism and Hinduism are actually very close. Buddha said, you reach Nirvana, and Hindu said, you reach, you know, Godhead. The difference is, you know, they call him God, Buddha called him Nirvana. Indeed, Hinduism in highest level is very similar to Buddhism beside the Eightfold Path and other things that Buddha also added to his teaching and brought to humanity. But these teachings and this revelation, of course, even expand on Buddhism and Hinduism and Kabbalah and all the mystical path, and teaches what is the next step. Is this goal of the life is to become pure consciousness? Is the goal is to reach Nirvana? Is it to Godhead? Or there are more than that, and that is when the seven or five step of the eternal divine path comes and say, no, you meditate, but you direct your energy and your understanding to create the comings of light. Of course, Buddha also taught the comings of light. He said Sangha and Dharma. Sangha means community, and Dharma means the innate nature of each person in the community. That's comings of light. If you understand why you have been put here, and what is the reason you are in this body, and you have a dharma to fulfill, and you fulfill it in that community, of course, you are a helpful and a productive member in the community, and that's what comings of light is all. For each person, you know, manifest their dharma in that community. Therefore, Buddha was teaching, you know, comings of light. Actually, every religion, you know, talks about the community. Love your neighbor as yourself. That is community. Ummah in Islam, that is community. And all the religions teach community. But, of course, the Old Testament emphasizes it. The whole Old Testament is God is trying to find a people who accept him as the king and his laws as the law of the community. And therefore, we can see, yes, indeed, all the religion talk about them, but emphasis isn't greater in the New Testament. So if you're a Buddhist, the next step is to create comings of light. Sacrifice to create comings of light. Sacrifices come from the teaching of New Testament and Christ, and therefore you include not only Buddhism, you include the Old Testament and New Testament. The next step is surrendering and submission to God. Surrendering means surrender the result of your action to God. Or submission means let the Spirit or the truth come through and become more and more of the truth, not being affected with propaganda or your background, your religion, your society, but what is the truth? I want to manifest the truth no matter what. Therefore, you're not trying to become politically correct, but become spiritually correct. And therefore, you manifest that through yourself. And the next step is expansion of the mind or universalism, realizing that that essence, that nirvana, or that whatever you want to call it, is everything. So you become a citizen of the whole universe, and that spirit become your father and mother, that spirit of the truth, and you shatter all narrowness of the mind. Therefore, even Buddhists and Hindus and all the mystical path can learn from these teachings. The Jews and the Hebrews or the people with the Old Testament, they can benefit from the mystical path like Hinduism and Buddhism and all those religions and teachings. Christian can benefit from teaching of Old Testament by realizing they have to create the communities of light based on the eternal divine path. They also can close their eyes and see the light that Christ was talking about. When the eye becomes single, your whole body becomes light. What is that? You know, ask a Christian, what is Christ talking about? That is when you close your two eyes and you see the third eye, and the light of the third eye will fill all your body, and you become single and one with the spirit. Therefore, even they're going to be benefited. So everybody can be benefit from these teachings, at the same time unify as one religion, one God, or what one essence, whatever you want to call it, and become one. Therefore, we can see this teaching is perfect, is it is absolutely from God, if he's supported with all the teachings and revelations and religion on earth, and now here for humanity to go and prove to themselves and benefit and see that their religion indeed will benefit from this revelation. And the more and more, of course, the people become one with this revelation, they should become one with each other. They become brothers and sisters, and they will create one culture. It's the culture of the spirit. It's not a culture of the west or east or south or north, but one culture, and we all become one, and therefore we can create an environment that all will become in peace and unity. Mara Kaman is asking, don't you think that most of us would be better off if we give our love to God instead of trying to comprehend him, even though it is good to study and try to understand him? Well, there are three paths in general that each individual usually tries to follow. It's called the path of bhakti or devotion, that Christ said, love your God with your whole heart and mind and spirit, and therefore you just love God. That's all you care about. You don't care who he is, where he's come from, you know, how he created the universe, is the science correct or not, or you just don't care. You just love God because you have such a great devotional spirit toward him. Another way for some people, they love to do the will of God, and they bring his will to earth by working for him, manifesting things, taking of the community, do services, you know, type or, you know, all the things they can do to feel that they are doing the God's will, and that is, of course, karma yoga or the action. And the third one is jnana yoga or knowledge. Some people just like to analyze God, to come with different ways of, you know, yoga and meditation and explain how there is eightfold of yoga and this and that, and they have an analytical mind, and by analyzing God, they can have a greater degree of feeling closeness to him. That's why this mission covers all of them. It accepts devotional person. If they love God with all their heart, that is great. They can come. At the same time, they can direct their attention to create the comings of light. Therefore, they become also the karma yoga. And also this revelation clearly states and explains the science and even scientific fact that is coming from new understanding of, you know, quantum physics and the gravitation and string theory, and everything is already, we were talking about these things for the last 22 years. And of course, they call it the string theory, we call it the conscious theory, and the three creative forces, and how the three creative forces are the same as the, you know, a strong force and a weak force and electromagnetic, you know. So take your pick. If you are a devotional person and you want to love God with all your heart, that's great. That's fine. You can do that, but at the same time, try to create the communities of light. But at least come and live in the communities of light, and with your great devotion toward God, make other people devotional. If you want to become a karma yogi and live in the communities of light and help it, you know, with your work, that's great. Come here and show how you can let God manifest through you, and you do great things. If you are scientific mind and intellectual, go and study your teaching and how that, actually there is a brother here that I don't know if it's here in room or not. He is a elite psychology, and he is implementing our teaching in psychology and psychological understanding. So it is a vast revelation. It includes everything and everybody, and it includes from the very mundane part of life to the explanation of the creation, psychology's, you know, understanding of humanity, and therefore it is huge revelation for everybody to take, but don't limit it. You know, don't limit it only in devotion, or don't limit it in intellectual, don't limit it in karma, or don't limit it only scientific or psychological. It covers everything and everybody can benefit from it. So accept who you are, where you are, what your religion is, but expand yourself to a greater revelation and realization that have come to humanity. Okay, I leave all you to God and be one with this revelation. Go to our website, understand this teaching and come. That's great that more people go to our website and understand this teaching and come here. Let's talk about devotion. Let's talk about science. Let's talk about intellectual things. Let's talk about work. Let's about get to understand why this revelation is greatest ever and how it can help everybody. Be with God, be with the Spirit, be with the consciousness. Salam, everybody.